And this week, I need you just as much as you're going to need me. Amen? Will you be here for me? Will you do your part? This week is going to be a beautiful week. I'm going to be prayed up, studied up, and I'm going to be ready to give you both barrels unloaded. Amen? We're going to have a good time at church, all right? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians. Amen? Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. It's funny how God leads you to a certain message that's probably... This message is probably going to be more for me than it is for you. But it'll be a good reminder for you. When you get to Philippians chapter 4, just place your fingers there for a moment. And I want to set the stage for what we are about to learn, all right? First of all, let me tell you this. I'm taking seminary classes online right now, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary out of Wake Forest, North Carolina. I take classes every day. Every day I watch lecture videos, then I have to take a test every day. And I'm actually about, this week, I'll finish a class on Great Commissions evangelism and the Great Commission this week. The class I took before this was a class called Hermeneutics. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the word hermeneutics. Anybody out there? Put your hands down. Okay, raise your hand if you know what the word hermeneutics means. A few of you. I want to preach to you this week. I want to challenge you this week. I want to encourage you, but I also want to teach you this week, okay? The word hermeneutics means properly interpreting Scripture, understanding the Bible and interpreting Scripture. And I want to tell you this, okay? Understand this. The Bible means one thing and one thing only to all people. You and I have heard others say this before. Well, I don't interpret it that way. I interpret it this way. Listen, it has one interpretation. It means one thing and one thing only to all people. The question we have to answer is this: are we interpreting it correctly? The Bible cannot mean today what it did not mean 3,000 years ago. It's the Word of God and it has not changed. Amen? Come on now, I'm talking to you, talk back. The Bible means the same thing today that it meant when they penned it. And here's another thing. Every book of the Bible has a theme. For example, when you go back to the book of Genesis, most theologians would call the book of Genesis the book of origins. It's where we learn how God created all of these things. And the crazy thing is this. We serve a God that is so powerful that He literally spoke the universe into existence. And everything, He spoke it into existence. He's that big and He's that awesome. And the Bible says when God made this, it was good. When God made this, it was good. Did you know there's one thing God made, though, that wasn't good? What did God say was not good? He said, it is not good for man to be alone. Amen? If you're here with your spouse, turn to him right now and say, honey, I'm thankful for you.
Wow.
Tell him that right now. It's okay to growl at him in church. Amen? They're your gift from God. Matter of fact, men, I give you permission right now to turn to your wife and say, hey, honey, you looking hot today. Tell her that right now, okay? Come on, it's a gift. Amen. He growled. That was good. Who did that? Right there. Stand up, brother. Come on. Time out. Wait a minute. He going to demo it for everybody. Hey, we got to have silence, though. We got to have silence. Got to have silence. On the count of three, give her the growl. One, two, three. Oh, come on now. Hey. All right. Sit down. We're in church. So the book of Genesis is the book of origins, okay? When you get to the book of Revelation is what they call the book of eschatology. A lot of people think the word revelation means the end times. The word revelation just means to unveil something. The word for end times is the word eschatology. It means the study of end times. When you get to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the books we call the earthly ministry of Jesus. The book of Acts, for example, is the book where we find this is the birth of the New Testament church. Every book of the Bible has a theme. Guess what the theme of the book of Philippians is? It's called the book of encouragement. One of the most popular verses in all of Philippians is Philippians 4:13. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sports teams will paint that on their walls of their locker rooms. Baseball teams paint it on their dugouts. Sometimes you'll see athletes wearing a bracelet, Philippians 4:13. This is what is so really cool about the book of encouragement. Did you know when Paul gave us the book of encouragement, he was in prison? How could a man, at maybe one of the lowest points in his life, give us the book of encouragement? Most prisoners, they're trying to tell you, let me out of here, I'm innocent. I want my one phone call. Give me my attorney. You made a mistake. But Paul somehow found a way to give us words of encouragement even while in prison. One night this week, I'm going to preach a message out of the book of Acts on Paul, and we'll find out how he could do this. But really, it really speaks to my heart that Paul, while imprisoned, was able to give us encouragement. Amen? Now, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, Paul says this. I'm reading out of the New King James translation. He says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, chapter 6. Be anxious, verses 6, sorry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for these words out of the book of encouragement and how so many times they have calmed my heart and my soul. And I pray they would do that again for me today and for everyone in this room. Help us, God, to visit with you, learn from you, so that we can walk close with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Now, if you're reading the King James translation, the word is be careful for nothing. But the word careful and the word anxious mean the same thing. Be anxious for nothing. I want to ask a question, all right? You can take the word anxious, worried, depressed, anxiety. All of those words mean the same thing. You can throw them in the same basket because they do the same things to people. They keep you up at night. Amen? They rob you of your joy. Depression, anxiety, worry, and fear do the same thing. Is there anybody in this church today that can honestly raise your hand and say, Kenny, I have never worried about a single thing? I didn't think so. We've all been there. We've all been at places in our life where joy is gone, where worry creeps in, fear, depression, anxiety creeps in. It happens. This is what we need to learn from this text. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. In my hermeneutics class, I learned that a lot of times when we read the Bible, did you know there are words in the Bible that mean something totally different than we may think? Some words, they do not mean what we think they mean. And some of these are words we use in our everyday language. For example, when we read the passage where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know what the word mansions means? It doesn't mean Graceland with white pillars outside. It doesn't mean you're gonna have a 5,000 square foot, 6-car garage. The word mansions, it just simply means a room, a place to dwell. That's what the word mansions means. We've sang that song for years. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, right? And I've heard saints of God say, I can't wait to see what my mansion looks like. Now, I don't know what you've envisioned, but knowing what the word mansions means, it simply means this. God has a place for you. What it looks like, I don't have a clue. How big is it? I don't have a clue. But I know it's going to be enough. And I know it's going to be awesome. I love to hunt and fish. Anybody hunting fish out there? Most of you are vegetarians. That's okay. I've got a bunch of white-tailed deer heads hanging on the wall. Some big old fish. You know, laugh at me if you want to. But sometimes I pray weird, right? I've got a man cave at home. And sometimes I say, Lord, I don't know what my mansion or my room's going to look like, but I hope it resembles a man cave, right? Come on now. I want people to show up and go, ooh, that's a good-looking buck right there, amen. But there are words that mean differently than what we may think. Guess what? I studied this word. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. So guess what the word nothing means in the original language? Nothing. Well, this is deep, ain't it? Some of your faces, I just blew your mind right there. The word nothing means no thing. So, when Paul says be anxious for nothing, then we have to understand when we are anxious, we're anxious because of something. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is getting really deep now, all right? Paul says be anxious for nothing. So if we're anxious, it's because of something. Now, I want to make one thing crystal clear in this message. I'm not telling you to stop taking your medicine. Okay? I'm not doing that. Do some people have sicknesses that require antidepressants? Absolutely. There are people with chemical imbalances. Some people may need... If your doctor has told you to take some medicine, take your medicine. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I will tell you this. I really believe this. I believe, by and large, I believe most Christians, a lot of Christians, they're trying to treat something with a pill that only God can fix. And it's because they've laid down the Word of God. It's because they've stopped praying to God. You can't fix with a pill what you need in your daily walk with Christ. You need the Word of God. You need prayer. So Paul said, be anxious for nothing. So then if you're anxious or worried or depressed, you're anxious because of something. Here's my question this morning. Look at me. You don't have to answer me out loud, but I want you to search your heart right now. What is your thing? I know what my thing is. And I want to talk real talk this week, okay? I don't want to show up and just give you a bunch of preacher talk. I want you to know that everything you're hearing from me, listen, I am a broken man. And I don't have all the answers. And I'm filled with mistakes. And I have to every day ask God to help me. All right? So when I preach, I'm preaching to myself. What is your thing? I know what my thing is. My thing is worry. And can I tell you what I worry about more than anything else? Can I be transparent? Money. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know why I worry about money. I'm not a millionaire. Compared to some people, I'm not even a wealthy man. But I've always had more than I need. I've never missed a meal. God has always been good. Every church that I go to, they take really good care of me. I always leave. Most of the time, I leave with far more than I ever expected. I'm just telling you, I have no reason to worry about money. So why do I worry about money? It's crazy. Someone said, well, you probably worry about money because you're an evangelist. And that may be the case. Here's the thing about it. I mean, I don't know from week to week how much I'm going to make, but I should know that it's going to be a blessing and enough, right? Can I get a witness in the house? So I had to start going for counseling over this several years back. Listen, I went through some deep depression and anxiety over money. I was in a bad place, and I had no reason to worry. God has always blessed us, and I was in a bad place. I know what, look at me, I know what anxiety feels like. I know what depression and worry feels like because I've had it for months. About 8 years ago, I went through this for months, and I was miserable. I didn't even want to be alive. And I'm not talking about just being in a bad mood. I'm talking about depression and anxiety that cripples you, that robs you of all your joy. There's no light. There's no joy. It's absolute depression, and it is not a fun place to be, and I know what it feels like. And I had to start going for counseling. My pastor, who's one of my best friends, when I went to my pastor for counseling, the first thing he asked me, he said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I'm depressed and I'm anxious. He said, about what? I said, money. He said, why? I said, I don't know. I don't know. There's no retirement plan in what I do. I mean, it's really not. He said, why are you worried about money? I said, I don't know, but I am. It's keeping me up at night. It's making me sick. I got anxiety and depression over this. And my pastor asked me a question. He said, Kenny, he said, if Bill Gates was your earthly dad, would you worry about money? Y'all know who Bill Gates is? He's a multi-billionaire. He's the Microsoft guy. My pastor said, if Bill Gates was your earthly dad, would you worry about money? I said, I'd be crazy to worry about money if Bill Gates was my dad. My pastor looked at me and he said, shame on you. He said, shame on you that you trust Bill Gates more than God. Come on now. He said, shame on you. You have a father that owns everything, and you have more faith in Bill Gates than him? Man, it was like a sledgehammer to the chest. Holy smoke. My pastor, he said, you need to start studying the sovereignty of God. Y'all ever heard that word before, sovereign? Come on, let's play a game. Raise your hand if you've heard the word sovereign. Get it up real high. There we go. We're good. Yeah, that's what I thought. Raise your hand if you have ever heard the preacher say that God is a sovereign God. Get it up, right? Put your hands down. Now, look at this. Raise your hand if you believe God's a sovereign God. Get him up high. Put it down. Okay, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you know what the word sovereign means. It happens everywhere I go. People say, yeah, I've heard that before, preacher. He's a sovereign God. Yeah, I believe he's a sovereign God. What does sovereign mean? If you're writing, write this down, because this is some big stuff right here. I want to tell you what the word sovereign means, and this is why we can trust God with everything. The word sovereign means having supreme power and all authority. That's what the word means. Having all power and authority. And can I tell you something? God is the only one that has all power and all authority. This country is flipped upside down, but you need to know that God is still in control. Our economy has gone down the toilet, but you need to know God is still in control. Can I let you in on a secret? Joe Biden is not running this show. God is. And it may look like it's falling apart, but it's falling right into place because God is still in control. He is absolutely sovereign. He has all power and all authority, and no one or no thing will ever take his place as sovereign. Amen? Now check this out. Here's why we can trust him. Understand that you have a father who is sovereign. The universe came to be because God had the power to speak it into existence. Now we look outside and we see an overcast sky and it depresses us. But did you know there's a sovereign God that said it needs to be overcast in Ella J, Georgia today? I have a reason for it. I'm going to make it that way. And we need to say, God, thank you that we need overcast today. Only He can make it. Did you know somewhere beyond those clouds there is a ball of fire still raging called the sun? And when we need that, God is going to show that. The reason the sun rises every morning is because there's a sovereign God that made it. And the reason it rises is because He has the power to say, son, it's time to show up again, and it obeys His voice. And when that sun disappears in the evening, we have this thing called the moon that the sovereign God of heaven made. It shows up right on time and it obeys His voice. When the wind blows, the wind is blowing because a sovereign God in heaven created that wind. And He said the wind needs to blow and it obeys His voice. And here's the beautiful thing. He's our Father. And He's a good Father. I love the passage where Jesus said this, listen close. By the way, I hope you're not in a hurry. Okay? Now, I better not see you looking at your watch, all right? If I see you looking at your watch, I'm throwing this microphone, hitting you in the head with it, all right? You ain't going to put me on a time schedule, all right? Now, I'm going to be as good of a steward with your time as I possibly can, okay? But I left my wife for 4 days to hang out with you knuckleheads. We're going to let God be God, amen? You know why people look at their watch in church? Listen, you know why people look at their watch in church? Because they're not expecting God to do something. When you show up and you expect God to do something, time is irrelevant. And God's going to do something today. So Jesus said, don't worry about your life. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Jesus said, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Can I tell you why Jesus said that? Because God made you to be more than eating machines and mannequins. I'll say that again. You were made to be more than an eating machine and a mannequin. You were created with a purpose and a plan. And Jesus said, don't worry about your life. I love this. He said, look at the birds of the air. He said, they don't store up food or gather into barns. They don't worry about what they're going to eat. He said this. He said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Notice he didn't say, their heavenly Father feeds them. He said, your heavenly Father feeds them. The birds, they can call him Creator, but they can't call him Father. The cows of the field call him Creator, but they cannot call him Father. Every animal, everything ever created, everything calls him Creator, but you and I are the crown jewel of creation, made in the image of God. We are the only things that can call him our Father. And where we've got to come back to is we've got to come back to not just who we are, but whose we are. God is sovereign. We have forgotten how big and how awesome he is, and that's why we worry and freak out over everything. So my wife and I, she's a school teacher. Last summer, we took a vacation. We try to take 2 or 3 trips a year together, just the two of us. I think it's very important that husbands and wives get away and tell the kids you ain't going. You laugh, but I'm serious. Do you know it's okay to tell your kids no sometimes? Matter of fact, you need to tell them no sometimes. Sometimes you need to knock their teeth out. No, I didn't say that. So me and my wife, we went on a vacation last summer to this vacation destination. One of the most beautiful places on earth. True story. We went to LJ, Georgia. You remember I asked you about a restaurant, didn't I? This is a true story. Where's the best place? Say, where's the best place to eat in LJ? God is my witness. He had trouble recommending somewhere. That's right. It was a Sunday night. I'll give you that. But the list was real short. I'm being silly. So my wife and I, we're here for 4 or 5 days in the mountains just to get away. And she says, I want to go shopping. There's an outlet mall not far from here. What town is that? Dawsonville. How far is that? Okay, so she says, I want to go shopping. So we go to this outlet mall. And by the way, men and women are different. We are. Women, you all are weird. I love you, but you're just weird. Here's how men and women are different, okay? Women go to the bathroom together. Men don't do that. Women say, let's go to the bathroom. I've never seen one dude look at another dude and say, bro, it's pee-pee time. Let's go, me and you, right now. Never. Have you ever witnessed that? No. And can I tell you something else about men and women? Women shop, men just go get it. Amen? When my wife says we need to stop by Walmart for a few minutes, I know that my day for the next 5 hours is shop. When I say I got to go to Walmart, she knows she can leave the car running. But my wife says, when we're in LJ, Georgia, I want to go shopping at that outlet mall. So I knew, okay, this is going to be a day-long excursion. We go to this outlet mall, and this is just the way it is. When she goes in the store, and I sit on the bench outside. So I'm sitting on this bench outside, and the first thing I noticed is that some people just really want to look weird. There was people walking by. I'm standing there, and listen, there was two or three people come walking by. I saw one person with orange hair. The person beside them had green hair, right? And then you get people come walking by, and their pants are halfway down their rear end. You know what I'm saying? And you want to say, pull your pants up. Can I get a witness in the house? But I'm sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, like this right here, I'm just kind of looking at the sidewalk, and I caught something out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and there's this little tiny red ant crawling on that sidewalk. And I said, you had to be looking for it to see it, because it ain't jumping out at you. They're tiny. I'm sitting there, and I see that, and then all of a sudden I notice, and there's another one right here. But before I knew it, right underneath me, there was thousands of these little tiny red ants just crawling around. And I said, holy smoke. And I got to asking this question. How many little red ants are there in the world? You know, the truth of the matter is this. To you and I, it's beyond our wildest imagination. We couldn't count them. Did you know we have a Father in heaven that knows each and every one of those single red ants? He created every one of them. He knows how many of them are alive at this very moment. He made every one of them. He's sovereign. And because he's sovereign, you and I can trust him with absolutely everything. Everything. He's a good, good father. So Paul says, be anxious for nothing. He said, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want to stop here for 1 second. We're almost done. Stick with me. Paul said, with thanksgiving. What Paul is trying to teach us here is this. What we do most of the time when we pray, we thank God for what he's done, and that's good, to thank God for what he's done. What Paul is telling us is that we're to also thank him for what we know he's going to do. We need to pray. We need to say, God, I thank you for what you've done, but I thank you also for what you're going to do, and I can trust you in advance. Paul goes on to say, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, like Facebook, whatever things are noble, like CNN, whatever things are just, like Fox News. Wait a minute, it don't say that. You know why it don't say that? Because those things are garbage. Look at me. Those things are garbage. Now, can they be used in a good way? You better believe it. Facebook has reached millions with the gospel in the midst of this pandemic, right? Sometimes, listen, sometimes a little bit of Fox News is good. But I promise you, if it's on your television 24 hours a day, you will get depressed. Can I tell you what Paul is saying here? Take out the trash. Remove the trash from your life because it's making you sick. It's poison. Did you know if you eat poison long enough, it'll kill you? And somebody needs to hear this today. Look at me. Look at me. You don't have to comment on everything on Facebook. Huh? Some people live to give their opinion when it wasn't asked for. Some people, 99% of their Facebook content is nothing but a debate. Look at me. I'm going to teach you something right now, okay? This might be one of the most important things I teach you all week. Everybody look at me, okay? I'm about to teach you something. Now, this takes skill, but if you practice it, you'll get good at it. Watch this. Watch. Are you watching? Holy smoke. Did you see that? It was pretty quick. Let's do it in slow motion. You know what that's called? No, it's called keep on swiping. You know what I do when I see something I don't like? I don't have to look at that trash. I don't have to comment on that junk. Right, come on, let's everybody practice. Everybody take your index finger and do this with it. Are you ready? And on three, we're going to swipe. Are you ready? One, two, three. Wasn't that easy? Can I promise you something? If you'll start doing that more often, you'll be a happier person. By the way, my Facebook page is Kenny Evans Ministries if you want to follow it, okay? I'd appreciate that. Whatever things are pure and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Can I help you today? Look at me. I'm going to help you right here. Turn the TV off. Put your cell phone down. Get off the computer. I told you I love to hunt and fish. Not everybody likes to hunt and fish. I get that. Can I help you? Take a walk. Find you a country road and just take a walk. You know why a lot of people are depressed and anxious and filled with worry? Is they have stopped finding God. And I promise you, if you look, He's really easy to find. Go to the park. When you hear the birds singing, stop and say, that's God. When the wind blows, stop and say, that's God. You know what? It doesn't surprise me that the people that live in downtown L.A., Chicago, no wonder they've lost their mind and they've gone crazy. You got some people who live downtown New York City in a high-rise apartment, and every morning at 4:30 a.m., their clock goes off, they get ready, they ride an elevator down, then they walk out on a sidewalk where taxi cabs are honking and cussing each other. It's nothing but chaos. They walk down a sidewalk in the middle of this city, and then they walk through the doors of this office complex where they work. They get on the elevator, they go up 15 floors, and then they'll spend 12 hours sitting behind a desk in a cube, and then after their work day is done, they get back on that elevator, they go back down, they get on that sidewalk, and when they go out, there's 812 taxi cabs going, screaming at each other, cussing each other. Then they go right back to that apartment complex and go back up to their box. That's all they see. No wonder they've lost their mind. Look at me. This. We have to remember that when God made man, He placed them in a garden, not a parking lot. There's something to be said about just getting outside and watching a sunrise and feeling the wind blow and sometimes even feeling rain on our hands. We meet with our Creator and it changes us. I want to ask you this morning, in closing, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. So what's your thing? I told you what my thing is. What sets me free is to say that my Father is sovereign, the ruler of the universe. He has all power and He has all authority. When the sun rises, it does so because He commands it to. When the wind blows, it blows because He commands it to. And we are the only thing made in His image. He will take care of us. So my prayer and my challenge to you this morning, do you want personal revival? Take the trash out. Get rid of those things that are killing you. Bring your thing to this altar this morning. Fall on your knees before God and say, God, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm tired of living with this. It is ruining my life. Is it money? It may be money. Is it social media? Is it your children? Is it your job? Whatever it may be, bring it to the altar and say, God, here it is, and I'm leaving it here. This is my thing, and I don't want it. Bring revival into my heart, O God. Start it today. I give you everything. Here it is. Because I can promise you this. If you're here today and you battle anxiety and depression and worry, God did not create you to live that way. He did not create you to live in constant worry, fear, and anxiety. And you can leave this place this morning. You can walk outside. You can look up at a cloudy sky and say, my Father made that because He's all power. He has all authority. Somewhere beyond those clouds is a sun shining because the God of heaven made it, and He is my Father, and I can trust Him. The invitation this morning is to bring your thing to the altar. Say, God, here it is. I don't want it. And I leave it with you. Set me free. Set me free. You can live in freedom. You can live with joy. Did you know joy and happiness are two different things? Happiness is circumstantial. But joy is inner peace. When I left my daughter yesterday, I wasn't happy. Those circumstances ripped my heart out. I wasn't happy. But even in the midst of my unhappiness, I could still have joy knowing that God loves her more than I do. So what is your thing? Here's what I don't want to happen this week. I don't want to play church. I'm not about that business. I don't want to be religious. I hate religion, so does God. My prayer is that the people of God would be real before a holy God and open up our souls to be touched by God. Would you bring your thing to the altar today and just say, God, here's my thing. And I will not carry this another day. Would you bring it? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you would say today, Brother Kenny, this message was for me because I'm carrying something that I don't want to carry. If this message was for you today, I'm going to count to three. I just want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Anybody out there? Who was it for today? Hold them up high. Get them up real high. This was for me. Get them up high. God sees your hand. I want to ask you to join me in the altar today. Listen to me. I'm a broken man just like you. I'm a hurting man just like you. Just like you, I don't have all the answers. But I'm your brother in Christ. And I want to ask you to join me as we take our cares to the Lord. All of you that raised your hand, would you come down? Let me pray with you. Would you come now? Would you come now? God bless you. Come on now. People are moving. Don't let pride keep you in your seat today. Don't let religion keep you in your seat today. Would you come now and say, I'm tired of carrying this thing with me. It's robbing me of joy. It's a cancer that I'm ready to destroy today. Would you join me? Pastor, would you join us in the altar? Who else is going to come? Who else is going to bring your thing to the altar and say, God, set me free of this? You can stand or you can kneel, whatever you're comfortable doing. We'll wait. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let me say this. Your pastor is standing behind you. If you need to talk to him, if you need counsel from him, go to him right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Would you come now? Rest of you, the family of God, would you lift your hands as we pray? Can we just lift a hand to heaven, trusting God to set us free today? Father, you know my heart, and I have come to Elijah with a heavy heart. And God, I just trust that you're going to help my heavy heart, and you're going to heal it. You've already begun that, God. I pray, God, that you would guard my mouth and my tongue. And this week, Father, allow me to say only what you once said, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, for every person that's gathered in this altar, you know their heart. You know their thing that keeps them up at night. You know that thing that has robbed them of joy. You know that thing that makes them anxious and fearful. Father, I pray that they would lay it on the altar even now, and you would set them free. I pray, God, that you would honor their willingness to come forward today to make public that they, too, need to be touched. Set your people free of anxiety, worry, fear, and depression. Help us to know that you are sovereign, that you have all power and authority, and we get to call you Father. We pray this prayer in the name above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.